thank you for coming. I know the subject is tough. My name is James Simpson. I am the counselor at Rock Solid Refuge. And so what I'm going to be doing today or this afternoon is just passing on some information that I have, you know, that I have learned. And also as I help guys walk through this, you know, this subject. Rock Solid Refuge deals with trauma, deals with substance abuse, deals with depression, anger, and pornography. That's what we specialize in. And part of my role as a counselor is to help people move forward in those areas. So you're probably wondering, you know, why this subject? 6 years ago, when I was working at Rock Solid Refuge, but it wasn't in a counselor role. My role was as a called lead youth care worker. So what that meant is that I was in charge of the guys, and you know, from 3:30 to 10:30 in the evening, and we would help them with work projects. We would, you know, pour into their lives, so sort of like discipleship, all those type of things. I also had a burden to speak to them about social awareness, about subjects. And as time went on, I'd done my social awareness, and I sort of handled pornography, but sort of didn't, because the main thing is that I did not know what I was doing. Just being honest with you. But here's the thing that really impacted me and really hit me hard. Sat down with a guy, we'll just call him John. And I said to him, and I said, so we're going to do social awareness. This is how we're going to do it. And I said, so tell me what it's like. Because I knew he had difficulty with pornography. And so I broached the subject. So I made tea. I'm from England. I like tea. I don't like coffee. So I figured that we'll try that. And then I said, so tell me, teach me, how bad is it? And he looked at me and goes, do you really want to know? And I said, yes, because I have to know. And he said, James, he said, there was 26 hours of the week that I look at pornography. That was before he came to Rock Solid. And I says, 26? He says, yeah. And I'm going, okay. And then I was drinking my tea, and he says, that's not the worst. He says, there was one time where I watched pornography straight for 17 hours. I was drinking my tea and I almost choked because I got that, it's seven, it's got to be seven. So I said, 17? And he says, yes. And then I'm going, how can I help you? And it was from that discussion that I was committed to learning about pornography in regard to helping, not in the sense of lecturing, but in the sense of walking people through how can we do this. So I wrote a program called Access. It's called Attitude, Control, Commitment, Experience, Speak, and Set Goals. In order to try and help people. So not only did that help with pornography, but it's also helped revolutionize our program in the sense of helping people walk through addictions, anger, and everything like that. So what I'm gonna do today is walk you through some pieces in regards to pornography. I'm gonna show some videos if we have time, but I'm gonna have some feedback. I'd like to ask you questions and hear some things which you have, and you also want to pass on some pieces which I have, you know, which I have learned. Read, this is a quote by William Wilberforce. You may choose to look the other way, but you can never say again that you did not know. I'm good. Part of me feels soft for you. Because when I first learned about the devastation of pornography, it actually pretty much wrecked me. I found out about human trafficking, and also wrecked me. So, do part of me does apologize, but the other part of me doesn't, because you need to know. You need to know, and you need to know how to help. There's much about pornography that we do not know, and there's much we have not heard before. The truth has been hidden. We will journey together, and some of you will be shaken, shot, challenged, and broken, but you will be better for it. This is a picture that my daughter drew. So when you look at this picture, what do you see?
Brokenness.
What else? What was that?
Hurt.
Yeah. What else?
Split personality.
Yeah. Because if you look at the picture, this picture could be anyone. And on one side, we have everything looks normal. But if you begin to peel back the skin, you recognize that there's a lot of pain, that there's a lot of agony, there's a lot of hurt. There is a lot of, even in some cases, in cases, misunderstanding. Reality, the state of things as they actually exist, as opposed to an idealistic or notional idea of them. When I sit down with my guys and try to help them and move them forward, it is incredibly difficult for them because number one, they don't know me, but number two, there is an internal struggle. There is hurt and there is pain. And there's agony, and that's not easy for it to come out. And I've not only worked with guys, but I've worked with girls as well, in some way, shape, or form. And so hopefully this will give you an idea of the reality that we face. So anyway, here is stats from 2017, 18, and 19. So this kind of gives you at least an idea in regard to the number one Canadian porn site visits in a year. So I'm just going to let that sink in for you all to read. When you think of that, $39 billion a year. Now, that was 2 years ago. And in actual fact, the number one Canadian porn site, where do you think it ranks in the world? There's another site which is rising up, and that happens to be 11 in the world. So whatever these numbers are, they are so far and above. And I'm not going to give you the figure until later, but I want you to understand that this is just the tip of the iceberg that we are dealing with. One out of every three women have viewed pornography, 14 new videos uploaded every minute. When I share this one, some people don't know how to handle that. Because they think it's just a guy problem. But it's not. I mean, we've just come through what is called a pandemic. I mean, before the pandemic, I said this subject is a pandemic, that we need to deal with. In less than 3 seconds, and you probably know this, that's it. 3 seconds. And you are on a site where, or seeing things, where it greatly affects you, it greatly affects relationships. While porn is often called adult material, many of its consumers are well under the legal age. Studies show that most young people are exposed to porn by the age of 13. And according to a national representative survey of the U.S., teens, 84% of 14 to 18-year-old males and 50% of 14 to 18-year-old females have viewed pornography. But here's the thing. Guys aren't the only ones who consume porn regularly. Women absolutely do too. According to this 2018 study, an estimated 91% of men and 61.2% of women consume pornography. Either was written pornography, pictures, and videos. So that's what we're facing. And I know these stats are tough. You know, they're hard. And I understand that. And I get that. If you want to come in, you're more than welcome to. Mm-hmm. It's fine. You don't have to stand at the door. It's okay. I know it's a scary subject, but but you'll be fine. Just breathe. It's okay. I know it's hard. And you kind of wonder, like, oh my goodness, like, I mean, I thought you were going to give us stuff. Like, I am. But you got to understand reality before I can lead you in the truth. So here's the big question. What age are you first exposed to porn or pornography? What do you think? This form there. Which one? C? CD? CD? Okay, that's fair.
E?
Okay, 8. Now, see, the thing is that when they have stats, they like to be conservative. Let's be honest, they do. Because who in their right mind would want it to be here? So how many of you, put up your hand, if you have a cousin or a sister or a brother or something like that, or a neighborhood kid that you know who's that age, put up your hand. Okay. It's 6. Grade 1, grade 2. And I wish that wasn't true. I wish it wasn't true. But it is. Now, I know how the stats would say, well, like, we need to be conservative. We need to say 11, because if it's any lower, it's going to freak people out. Well, of course it's going to freak people out. I have sat down with people who have said to me the first time they were exposed to pornography was 6. 6 years old. Can you imagine what that does to a 6-year-old? There was one person who said, I'm going to be honest with you, I was 4 years old. I stayed over at my dad's house and he put me in front of a screen, and in front of that screen, guess what? Was pornography. Like, how the heck do people deal with that? Like, I'm a counselor, I'm being honest with you. I mean, there's some days where I just want to do this. And then some. Like, what are you doing, people? But instead of, like, do I get angry? Yes, I do. And I know anger is a secondary emotion. I know, blah, blah, blah. I get it. Fear, frustration, hurt, or guilt, blah, blah, blah. I know. But here's the point, though. It's like, I'm human, and it rips me apart. Never mind, I'm trying to help these people. I'm like, where is this fool? Bring him to me. I'm a black belt in martial art. I'll fix this. I'll fix it, all right? But if you're angry, I get it. Well, let's do something about it. So, anything that's surprising? Anything that you didn't know? Is there anything, any stats there that should be here that I don't have? Okay. Let's move on. So, I'm going to be using quote from people who are in the industry. I know that freaks people out, but I want to be real, I want to be open, and I want to be honest. So this is a gal, nothing else I'd rather be doing. Almost every time I shoot a scene, I fall a little bit in love with being watched, in love with being on display, in love with being the center of attention. Now, here's the deal. That is what you are shown all the time. But this is okay. This is how we do things. This is how relationship works. It's okay. Every time I talk about the industry, I do try to make sure that people know I'm the best case scenario. It's not everyone's truth. What Hollywood does is promote this subject to you. It sells you a bill of goods, and you think that that's reality, but this actress says, I am the best case scenario. In other words, she's saying is that there are people who are in the industry who aren't so fortunate as me. When I began to hear this stuff, I'm going, well, what do people mean by that? So I studied more. Porn is too easy an answer for women and men who are desperate for the trifecta combo of money, attention, and love. Even if the money received feels dirty, the attention unhealthy, and the love contrived. I wish there was some handout they gave you that listed all the emotional issues you may come up against as a result of selling sex for money, and maybe the pill that could take right when you begin your porn career that you would help stay in touch with reality. But by the time people are ready to quit, most are so tired and wounded or confused or numb or high or dead, it's nearly impossible to talk about it. That's what they don't tell you. They don't tell you that. They only show you, because there's two things they want from you. Number one, for you to become addicted, and number two, they want your money. But they don't tell you that. Where are the most pornographic movies made in, let's say in the States? Do you know?
Probably LA.
Yes, LA, Hollywood, absolutely. The ones who promote Disney as well in some way, shape, or form. I find myself, let's skip this quote. I was in the porn industry for my children, to support my children, but I had nothing to show for my time in porn except for disease, more heartache, and I was ready to kill myself. So it was a horrible, tragic experience. A lot of bad things happened while I was in the industry. That is a theme that they drown. They do not want you to know. Everybody's on drugs. It's like an empty lifestyle, trying to fill up a void. I became horribly addicted to heroin and crack. I overdosed at least 3 times, had tricks pull knives on me, had been beaten half to death. The only reason I am still here is God. It's not pretty. The more typical experience is short-lived and not profitable for the woman, and that is before you get to the question of what experiencing pornography is like that roughly mimics prostitution. Not only are there disproportionately high rates of women in the industry with histories of sexual trauma, most likely childhood trauma, and that often these are women without a lot of other life choices. The smiles, it looks like there's, you know, it looks like it's for fun. It looks like this is the way it is to be. And I challenge my guys and everyone who I talk about pornography. I say, but is that true? Why are they there? Most of them are not doing it, you know, for the money. Although there are some, but the vast majority of them are hurt or broken or in agony and pain. And everyone, this is not only the girls, this is the guys as well. This is the guys. It's both of them. Like the thing is that we have been sold a bill of goods that we still sign off all the time. These people are not there, most of them, by choice. It's because they're desperate. It's because they're hurting. It's because they're in pain. And they're in agony. That it's common for porn addicts to have a history of child sexual abuse that leads them to view their value in life primarily as the ability to sexually pleasure men. As well, many women in the industry are coerced into it by pimps, their boyfriends, and other men. When I was, you know, when I was younger, dinosaurs roamed the earth. Breathe, people. It's okay. We'll get through this. Not that I was really interested in this subject, but back in the day, you had a store And you had the back part, and in the back part was all kinds of magazines. You had to be 18 years old before you could take those magazines, and you had to walk out of, you had to buy it, and almost people were standing around. It was very, very difficult. In some ways, like, I'm short as it is, I'm not gonna pass as an 18 year old when I was 11 years old. That wasn't happening. You know, I had a lot more hair on my head, but here's the thing. It is so accessible today. And they don't tell you the damage, they don't tell you the dangers, they don't even tell you about the people who are involved. It is supposed to be a pleasure experience, and it's supposed to rope you in and keep you there. And it's hard. It is hard. I am not denying that it is not easy. When you are bombarded by images every single day, it is difficult. Like, especially when you guys are taught that this is the way how it's supposed to be. And you end up becoming confused. And gals, you know, you're supposed to look like someone who's been airbrushed. There is pressure upon pressure upon pressure. And it just doesn't stop. I mean, we talk about peer pressure, right? You guys have that, I understand, but I'm telling you, it is like, man, you have to look a specific way and act a certain way so that you can have attention, so that you can have this word. Maybe you can read my writing. You can have worth. Let me tell you, if you don't do this, you're not really valuable. If you're not involved in this, well, God tells us what our worth is, right? We are made in the image of God. We are made in His image. We don't need to act a certain way or have all these expectations, because we are enough with who we are. Well, Hollywood drowns that out. So what's kept quiet? There's abuse, there's devaluation, and there's coercion. That's what actually really happens. And as much as it looks good to see it, that's what's going on. And I know it's hard. I know it's tough. And these are the things that you can pass on to help people and say, listen, what you're watching on the screen, it ain't real. It is not real. Spending time with people in community is real. Showing your worth, showing how impressed you are by how people love, how they nurture, how they care, you know, walking with them. That's what real community is. That's where we get our pleasure. So what is the opposite of truth? So when you see this picture, what do you see? What was that?
Bondage
chains.
And then cry for help.
So here's the thing. The gal or the guy who's on the screen fits into these images. But the people who watched are here. They're trapped. They're in bondage. They're in pain. They're in agony. And I know, like, how we used to approach this subject. Like, I mean, we spend so much time on talking on this side and going, well, we argue about, is it right or wrong, right or wrong, right or wrong, right or wrong. And I get that, and please understand. I'm not saying that there isn't a time for that discussion, but we have spent how many years? 30 years in right and wrong? So I'm going to challenge you to be on this side, which means, of course, it's time to help. Now, that might sound controversial, but please understand me. Yes, there's a time to talk about right or wrong. But we need to move over here, and we need to be able to help people. And they know it's difficult. And I know I keep saying that, and I know it's hard because I get it, right? Because he wants to stand up and go, hey, I have a porn addiction, hello. How's that going to go down in your churches? Or youth groups? Yeah, that's going to be a good discussion, won't it? Seeing the pastor have you in the office, what the heck are you doing? Just joking. Well, maybe somewhat. Or your deacon's board, elders board, like... But if you don't say something, who will? Getting ahead of myself, quick. Put something else on before I go on my rampage. Truth, conformity with fact or reality, honesty, integrity, agreement with a standard or original. So I would posit that truth would be the almighty guy upstairs. And the way, the truth, and life, no one comes to the Father except by me. Yeah, him, that guy, the dude who runs the universe. That's his truth, right? It's got to be him. Because it can't be ours, because, I mean, let's be honest, if we're in control, look where it's got us. Hello, problem. So we need to appeal to someone else who has actually the answers and, you know, and can give us life. This is what pornography does to you, lies to you. You can stop whenever you want. If you are addicted, you aren't in control, your addictions are. Your addictions will harm your life, your family, your relationships, and your future. I don't know how many times I've heard, yeah, I can stop. 5 hours later. Well, I was meaning to. 10 hours later. Well, like, you mean, I just got busy. 20 hours later. Like, I mean, now I need to go to bed. Next one. Any behavior that gives you temporary, you know, relief, temporary pleasure, but in the long term causes harm and negative consequences, that you can't give it up despite those negative consequences. That's addictive behavior. Gabor Mate is the foremost expert in ADHD. He's Canadian, so give him props, he's a good guy. But here's the thing, he worked on East Hastings Street in Vancouver, you know, with all the addicts. And that is his definition of addiction, personally walking with them and working with them. Second one, this will be your last time, last fling, last website, last text, last picture, sent, last whatever. That is until the next addictive urge catches up with you tomorrow, next week, or next month. I've heard this one. It's my last time, I'm just going to binge. Maybe some of you in the room, I don't want to embarrass you, but it'll be my last time. It's Monday. It's okay. I won't. I won't. I can stop. It's okay. You know, I've got control of this. Everyone is doing it. I'm not alone. All my friends watch, and their friends watch. It's okay to look. Besides, it's free. It's free. Is it? Where do you? There's a whole bunch of ads that come on the website. That fuels it. That gives them the money so that they can rope you in and help you become addicted. And then slowly but surely you go to other websites and then you start paying money. It's never free. Even though they say it's free. No, it's not free. It will cost you. It will cost you deeply. It's not hurting anyone. What I see on the screen is people having pleasure, fun, and enjoying what is going on. And they like what is happening. Wrong answer. They've lied to you. They have lied to you. This one's a difficult part, because when I spend time talking with people, you know, and they have all these images in their mind, and they cannot get them out of their mind, because, I mean, it's, you know, this is what they say. They say, well, my relationship isn't going well with so-and-so. But if they were like someone on the screen, then it would go better. You know, and I'm sitting there in my chair, and I'm going like, did I just say that? You comparing, you know, a real person to an image that you've seen, and I'm going like, And they tell you that he doesn't hurt anyone. Here's a difficult part. Those images, you begin to compare your significant other with them. You will. And people will. And even so, it hasn't hurt anyone. But the answer is yes. It will. And it hurts you. It rips your soul out. Sharing your secret or struggle is too costly. You may believe that it may ruin your reputation, relationships, and how people look at you if you found out. You may not believe me when I tell you that keeping your struggle secret is far more painful than bringing it out in the open. I hear this. Guaranteed. Well, what am I going to tell my parents, you know, that I look at pornography? You know, what am I going to tell my youth pastor? What am I going to tell my pastor? How can I tell Jody, Jeremy, Erica, blah, 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 down the street? You know, and it's like in that picture where we're all in chains. Where we feel that there is no way out. Okay, question for you. What is the real reason people do not speak or do not share about pornography? What's the number one reason? Embarrassment, shame?
Back in my other church in Florida, we had some group, accountability group, and our youth pastor talked about how there's two different kinds of guilt, I think, or shame. One is that you feel bad for yourself and you just pity the other one, you just feel bad because you hurt God.
Yep. Yep. You're right. You're absolutely right. So you know this stuff. Good job. You know it. Yet it still holds us back. You know, I could go on about scripture, you know, and things like that, but I'm going to say something. God doesn't care particularly how dirty you look. Doesn't care. What he cares about is that you come to him. Question. Do you have to get clean before you take a shower? Do you have to get clean before you take a bath?
No.
Yeah, well. And I know, I used to say, but if people know, but here's the thing, if you don't tell them, then you'll be in the same place today and the next day. And the next day, and the next day, and you will feel more guilt, and more shame, and more agony, and more pain, and more, you know, and everything else. I mean, I'm going to talk on depression, so I need to be careful. I don't go into that either. But here's the point. The only way that this will go away is if you tell people. If you bring it out in the open, and you'll say, well, it's going to cost me everything. Well, it's already costing you everything. It's eating you alive. So it's time to tell people, whoever that may be. I'm not saying that, you know, you all have an issue with this, but I'm saying is that this is the main reason why people don't say anything. Because they don't have a safe place. They feel they don't have a safe place. And they feel that people will judge them. Somebody comes to you and says, I struggle with this. Listen, don't lecture. Listen. And I know that's hard because you're probably going to hear a whole bunch of stuff you don't want to hear. But listen to them. Give them the ability to be able to talk to you. When I talk to my guys, I use this picture because it seems like, I mean, you know, they're grabbing their hair and they're falling apart. And they feel, you know, and they feel trapped. And I And I understand that and I get that, but the only way to be free is to talk about it. And is to not be afraid. And I know that that's a lot to say, and I know it's hard, I understand that, but I mean, for your sake, to help people, to engage them, you have to do it. You have to. You have to come clean. And you have to be that safe place for people to be clean with you. In fact, porn consumption follows a very predictable pattern that's really similar to drug use. Over time, excessive levels of pleasure chemicals cause the porn consumer's brain to develop tolerance just like the brain of a drug user. In the same way that a junkie eventually requires more and more of a drug to get a buzz or even feel normal, regular porn consumers will end up turning to porn more often or seeking out more extreme versions or both to feel excited again. And once the porn habit is established, quitting can lead to withdrawal symptoms similar to drugs. This is truth. This is reality. But some people would deny it till they're blue in the face. Because it's easier to accept that, I mean, pornography doesn't change your brain, but it does. It does. There is something called vanilla porn, which is just regular, and then goes higher and higher. And in order to get the high which people first saw from using it, they have to go into extreme measures and see things, you know, which basically take them places where they wish that they haven't gone. I have sat down with guys, you know, and we talk about it, and they say it is the exact same rush that I feel. I mean, there's some people who said, oh, no, I never thought that I would do heroin and become an intravenous user. Or I didn't think I would go and do this. I did not think that I would even go to a strip joint, but I went because that's what I saw on a video. And I'm sitting there, and I'm going like, God, like, I need answers. Because our minds are ingrained in this so much that, you know, that reality and truth have been out of the window, and we feel a sense of that we are so overwhelmed. So we need to breathe. Let's go to the video if we can. Yeah. So now let a guy who's far more smarter than I speak. We video.
Yes, no, good point. And we're not speaking moralistically here or relativistically. I'm speaking biologically. Pornography is not real. It's not real in a natural way. We're not designed to consume pornography. We're designed to have sexuality in a format that helps us survive, where it's enjoyable for both parties. And pornography is a rewiring toxic form of human sexuality. For instance, a young man that's grown up having sex, so to speak, with a screen, it's unlikely that a real woman is going to fit the bill for him. He's been sexually scripted, sexually wired, sexually imprinted to believe that that is sex. Not real sex, but porn sex. Our brains are designed for so much more. We're designed to love, to think, to bond, to live, not simply to use other people as if they're objects and throw them away. We're much more than that. And a person that has been rewired with these sexual scripts through pornography will find that recovery, while very possible, is a process as well. Just as becoming addicted is a process, recovery, similarly, is a process. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes knowledge.
Any questions? Any comments? Any thoughts? Any wisdom from you folks?
He says it's a process. The question is, what is the process?
What was that?
The process of recovery.
That's right. So the process of recovery would probably mean two things, like them coming to the understanding that, I mean, that they need help, and also in community. There's been a lot of studies which talk about that community is huge for recovery, which means that it's going to take all of us to be involved to help individuals. Because we can't do it alone. I would love to tell you in a year, those people who have viewed pornography, will be totally cured. I can't do that. It's going to take a while. But they will need all of us to be involved, to walk through with them. One of the things about addiction that people, have difficulty understanding is that there's going to be relapse. Relapse will happen. It just will. But that's not the end of the world. Because if they don't relapse, then there's certain things that they're going to learn in that. So the process is going to be long sometimes, but it's going to be worth it. It'll always be worth it. And I know it's hard. I know it's hard because maybe you have friends, maybe you have relatives, and it's like, why do you keep doing it? Why don't you just stop? Well, in some cases they can't stop. They haven't learned how to stop. Or it could be the fact that they don't want to stop and they're so full of guilt and shame that stopping, believes them that they, that it will cost them way too much and they are so embarrassed and in pain that they as individuals don't think that they can even move forward. So it will take us to grab an arm and help them move forward. Which means that you need to get involved, which means you need to get your hands dirty. Which means that, the thing that Jesus said we should do, we actually should do. I'm sure I can come up with some better theological words for that. Will sound more professional, but it's simply that Jesus says, do this, we should do that. Let's go to how we can. Let's go. Here's the thing. People trapped in pornography believe that it's their fault. Whether it's a performer or whether it's an individual. And there's so many things which are pulling the strings that they are at the center of it. That they feel that they're a puppet, and in some cases they are. So, as all of us who are here, we need to be able to pull, those strings off of them and help them and move them forward in a healthy manner. That means for you who maybe are involved in a youth group, like guys and gals, just going to be honest with you, if this is running rampant in your youth group, the most powerful voice in your youth group is you. Your youth leaders and youth pastors love you to death. Youth sponsors, they love you absolutely 100%. But here's the thing, change doesn't happen if you don't make it happen. If you want that change, then you guys are the primary force of how things can change. And maybe you're saying, I can barely stop myself. Well, go grab some other people and talk to them about it. Let's blow the church doors open. Because I will guarantee you that it's been my experience that when it comes to this talk, that it doesn't happen as often as it should. It just doesn't happen. Reality, truth, what are people looking for? Yeah, that's good. Connection, intimacy, and valuable. That's what people need to know. Connection, intimacy, and valuable. But this word has been totally taken in a place where it shouldn't go. intimacy. Is to be known when we are vulnerable, broken, and share who we truly are without a mask. We are desperately longing for intimacy. That's what we want. You know why people look innocent? It's here. It's right here. This is that intimacy. That's what they want. That's what they need. And they think they're going to get in a scream. Why do you think that is? Speak to me. Why do you think that is? Because they don't have any in their own lives? What else?
They believe the lie that is intimacy.
They believe the lie that it's intimacy.
Well, the root of any addiction is it's a false fulfillment of what you really look for.
Yeah.
You're lacking something, so you go to something that's not satisfied. Porn addiction is no exception.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, they say that pornography is an intimate act. No, it's not. People play acting on the screen. I probably could have said that a little bit nicer, but that works. It's play acting on the screen. It's not intimacy. It's not. That's what we crave for. That's what all we long for. Let's be honest, we do. You want to be able to be with people who love you no matter what. You want to be with people, you know, whether it's a sports team or even here this weekend, like, you want to be in a place where this is you, where you can do that. Because guess who gives us that? He got by the name of Jesus, the creator of the universe. And I know it's hard because we're just like, well, like, when I think of intimacy, I will guarantee you it's not this, it's other stuff. And God's like, what are you doing? No. That's not how we are not designed to be that way. Intimacy is biological, it's psychological, it's sociological, and it is spiritual. Dr. Gabor Mate says this: if you don't have spirituality, you will never make it. You won't. So God is at the center. People lack intimacy. Because this is far more redeeming. This is what Jesus wants. And that is what you guys, I'm hoping, is that when you get out of here, we'll go and say, hey, come here, I want to talk to you about something. Intimacy. And I know it's hard, I know it's difficult, I know it's kind of a word which you go, well, I don't really want to talk. Intimacy is a better word you can give me, but no, because that's the word. That's what people want. Does this resonate? When I came like last night, like and stuff, and I was like videotaping, everyone's like in the chapel, like doing the bop bop or whatever it was, things like that. I mean, everyone's just like going crazy, you know. And I'm, you know, they're like, well, whatever. Here's the point. All you guys were together, maybe most of you. I'm not, because I'm kind of like an introvert type of guy, so I'm like, I don't know. I'm just like, no. But anyway, here's the point, though. Is that all those people were together, they didn't know anyone, whether the person has deodorant on or combed their hair or whatever. But it's like, they're all together, like, whoop, and they're doing all this, and I'm going, that's it. Isn't it? That's what you want, even though you probably won't say, you're like, this guy's off his rocker. Like, I mean, but deep down, you know. You know we're going to shout out, this is what you want. That's what you crave for. And sometimes it gets misguided because we have all these images which come into our brain, takes us to a whole bunch of places where we, you know, where we shouldn't go, and we get confused, and God's saying, oi, come over here. I'm English, so that's the oi word for you. Boy, come over here, listen to me, sit at my feet and understand that this is what you want, this is what I made you for, so why the heck are you going and looking at other people who are acting on a screen? Let's go how we can help, because I'm quickly running out of time. Well, here, I'll give you this, yeah, here it is. So, I mean, you've probably seen it, 30 billion, 42, 67, 80, go. Yeah, it's $100 billion it makes a year. I know they, you know, they'd like to say, well, it's closer to $97 billion. Well, let's be honest, people, it's like $100 billion. It makes more than every major sporting event on the face of the earth. Keep on. Let's go to Howard Campbell, because like that's going to Yeah, we'll have to skip this video. We're running out of time. Talk too much. Okay, yeah, let's go back one more. So why do I do? So I actually, there's a whole bunch of stuff I wanted to do, but I mean, let's be honest, it's a big subject. What do you do? Here it is, people. Become aware of what is really happening. So hopefully I've done, you know, I've done my job. I know some, I think I was supposed to print off notes, sorry, kind of forgot. But I mean, you can email Rock Solid and I will give you notes. But become aware of what is really happening. Not what people want to tell you, but instead of what is actually really happening. So I've done that today to try and help you. Second thing, be part of the conversation. When somebody talks about pornography, don't just run in the opposite direction, okay? Please don't do that. Okay, be part of the conversation. It's gonna cost you. It's gonna terrify you. You're gonna feel like, I'm exposed. Like, holy cow, I don't know what I'm doing. That's okay. Well, be part of the conversation. I'm gonna give you some other tools to help you. Number three, tell someone you trust. Tell someone you trust. If you've got issues in this area, tell someone. Please tell someone. Be able to provide resources. And you're like, well, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to give you resources. So that's the question answered. Number five, start a group. Start a group. It means you don't have to be super leader type of person. You just need to gather chairs around and say, hey, like, you mean, my name's so-and-so, and I know there's a problem with pornography. You're going to come over to my house. You know, we're going to pop, we're going to chips, and we're going to go and talk about it. So let's stop hiding. Let's actually do something instead of running away. Yeah, you want to have chips with pomp and communion. I don't know. But whatever. Point is it start a group. Because I will guarantee you, here's the mistake, you know, that many people make. They're like, wow, that's really talking. They'll go like, I want to change the world and stuff. And then you'll think that everyone else is going to start the group. Mm-hmm. And the group doesn't start. So here's the thing. So say right now, I will be the one who's starting the group. Yes, I know you'll be terrified, and probably by the time you get home, you go like, "I'm crazy. Why am I doing this?" Don't stop. Start. Six, most important one: listen and don't lecture. Whoever comes forward and tells you something, like you would go like, "Oh my goodness!" Like, I mean, how can God? No. Just go. How can I help? How can I help? And I'll tell you this. Here's a funny illustration that I did. When I started learning about pornography, human trafficking, and a whole bunch of other things, and I don't have time to talk about human trafficking. I wish I did. But here's the point. I learned all about this, and I'm like, oh my goodness, like this is awful. I need to do something. And so what I did is I had a whole bunch of tracks from Way of the Master, where I used to have $1 million. So there was this store which was the adult store. And so I'm like, hey, I'm just going to go in there. I'm like, someone's got to do something. So I ran right in the store, no joke. Opened the door, ran right in there, and it turned out like, like there's all these images. And I'm like, what am I doing? And I'm going like, oh my goodness. So I walked up to the guy, no joke, not a lie. I walked to the door and I said, you need to stop what you're doing. And then he goes, what? And I'm going, this is not going as well as I thought it would have. And I go, you need to stop it, and all this stuff. And I'm like, here's $1 million, like you're one in a million. And just like from Way of the Master, and I had it to him, and he's looking at me, he goes, and I'm going, here, take it. And I ran right out of the store. I did. Because I thought that was the way to help. And then I realized that in my enthusiasm, that's probably not what, you know, I should have done. So listen, don't lecture. Scripture says this: do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. It's the renewing of your mind that, I mean, what that means is understanding that you have information, that you have knowledge, and to move forward with it. Your mind is being renewed every day. So you understand that and just realize. And I know how it is, how sometimes, you know, we send pictures and images and I get that, and we've got this whole sexting thing, and I understand. Which again, I don't have time to talk about. But here's the point. We need to be transformed. He's come out of your cocoon and say, yes, I have a problem, or let's go and do something about it. Let's quickly go down. Sorry. We seem to get what's the word I'm looking for? We seem to think that this is going to go away. And if we ignore it, it won't go away. We need to be more than sorry. You have to be. So anyway, here's some videos. Let's go down to the other part. I've told about access. No, we'll skip that part because I just don't have time. I'm almost out already. Success is not failure. Success is not final. Failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. By Sir Winston Churchill. He's English too, so. Yeah, but here's the point, right? Great leader, great words. I get it. Trust me. You know, if you start moving forward in this, you would think like, man, I can't even say anything. It's awful. It's brutal. Like, I mean, I don't know what I'm doing half the time. Just keep going. Just keep going. Keep moving forward. So here's some websites. Obviously, most of you have probably heard of Covenant Eyes. Please get that on your phone, or please tell people to put it on your phone, on their phone, or whatever, because that's going to help them. If you do that for free, you may have been an accountability partner. Please do that. Okay? There's something called Truebill as well. But can you quickly put a Fight the New Drug? This is my number one website, which I go to. There's a whole bunch of information about pornography here, which you can use and give to people. There's a ton of videos. There's a ton of resources. I am part of the organization in the sense of that I support. I'm what is called a fighter and things like that. Not like Taekwondo fighting or anything like that, but the point is to help out, you're providing resources and stuff like that. Wellness bracelet from Agape International. This is made by Ori, who's a human trafficking survivor, who was raped 50 times a day. And so I wear this bracelet to remind me of why I do what I do. Because I just can't stand by anymore. I probably need to be quiet and ask you questions. Anything else? Sorry. Anything else I can give you? So here's some opportunities: Agape International, Youth Wisdom Mission, Freedom Walk, an abolition conference, which is in the States. I've been to Exodus Cry, heard from human traffickers, you know, human traffickers and gals who've been involved in human trafficking. So here's the deal. I mean, for you who are sitting here, I know it can be overwhelming. I know you're like, holy cow, you just bombarded me with a whole bunch of things, and I know this is the only session that I've got. I'm going to tell you something, you can do it. You can. I know you may think that, I mean, like, man, I go home and there's all this stuff and I have to look you can do it. You just got to let go. You just need to ask for help. You just need to ask the creator of the universe. You know, he painted everything. He painted you. He made you. So if he made you, then he can help you. Because you are knitted together. I mean, in your mother's womb. Scripture tells us that. So God made you this way because only you can do what you can do. I will guarantee you, if you would have told me 10 years ago if I was doing this, I said, that's crazy. I could not stand in front of people and tell them about pornography. Like, oh, the God, go find someone else. I know you may feel, well, I don't know what I'm doing. That's okay. I have an email. You can email me. I give you full permission to do that. And we can talk and I will help you. I'll do everything that I can. Because I sat there where you guys are sitting and go, I can't do this. But you can. Don't believe that you can't help because you can help. Here's, I left this again for last. Who's pulling your strings? Who's pulling yours? Because it can be fear, it can be guilt, it can be, you know, it can be feelings of worth, it can be feelings of that I can't do, or I'm hurting, or I'm in too much pain. But if the guy upstairs loves you and died for you, then he can give you everything that you need. There's a whole bunch of books too, we can talk about it, but I'm going to highlight this. This is a 3-month plan of walking a person through pornography. If you go like, I don't know what to do, here's a book. Go give it to someone and say, hey, fill it out, we'll talk about it. It's got pictures in it too, so you'll be fine. Right? Right? Let me pray with you. Because I've already talked way too much and I've got like 1 minute left. So let's pray. Father, as we come before you, and Lord, we know that this subject is difficult. We know it's hard. And Father, and I know that there's so much more which I couldn't cover. I mean, we've got about human trafficking, we've got about sexting, and a whole bunch of other things. And Father, I just pray, you know, that as these beautiful people who have come here today, that you would give them guidance, that you give them wisdom, that you give them encouragement, and give them strength to go and rip this world apart for you. But Father, I just really pray that you would help them to, you know, in regards to conversations, in regards to what they, you know, what they need to do. And I just pray that you would light a fire under them and that they would go and do your will and not be afraid. Father, I just really pray that you give them boldness and give them courage. For I ask these things in Christ's mighty name. Amen. Thank you.